Smoky Schmoky. Welcome to the Media Bits Power Hour. This is Ernest and Jed, and we are delighted to have you with us. Thank you so very much. Today marks formally the 50th time that Jed and I have come to the mat to rock together. There's a wrestling term for that, a showdown, something, I don't know, a farming term, a hoedown. I don't know what it sounds like, but the bottom line is 50 times, Jed, we've come together to put on programs for publications and publishing professionals and advertising professionals. We've had more than 20,000 participants over all the years that we've run these over the last 16 years, and it's been an absolute pleasure, Jed, every step of the way. Thank you, man.
No, thank you. Yeah, thanks everyone for joining us, and want to thank Ernest. As you will see as the call goes on, Ernest knows an enormous amount about advertising and print and also just good common sense about sales. So I always learn a lot from these calls, and look forward to learning more about renewals today. Thanks. MediaBids, I'll just tell you just a quick 30-second overview. MediaBids is a website where we buy and sell newspaper and magazine advertising. If you're a publisher or an advertising executive and you're looking for another way to sell print space in your publication, please check us out. There's no cost to use us, and it's a great way to sort of open up another revenue stream and to reach advertisers that you may not otherwise be able to reach. So with that, I will hand it over to Ernest. Mm-hmm. Who again, thanks Ernest for all you do to put these together.
Listen, thank you so much. I really enjoyed. Could never do without your support and the support of your team. 50 times we've come together to work together on programs like this. To all of you, thank you so much. We have publications and publishers of all kinds, every genre under the rainbow. There are reoccurring themes, though, whether you're a newspaper, a magazine, a free publication, controlled circ, whatever it is that you do, rest assured that the theme today about renewals with grace really ties in very, very appropriately. My name is Ernest. My company is Power Hour. I've been around the publishing space and sector since 1986. I absolutely love publications. I've run them, owned them, bought them, sold them, worked for small companies, launched my own, worked for big companies, you name it under the sun. Today we work with more than 800 publications in 8 time zones around the world. We take a lot of pride in that, and there is no genre, type, or shape or form of a publication that we don't absolutely enjoy. In addition to the business coaching and training that we provide, we also have a recruiting division, and we help companies find great people and vice versa. We have an investment banking group, which means we help our clients buy and sell publications and properties and assets. We have a search engine team of 10 that we know how to drive revenue from websites, and we absolutely know how to increase and improve your website visibility. And we're very, very passionate about LinkedIn. It's the single biggest boon in the history of sales that I've ever seen, Jed, in the last 25 years. We remember, and I didn't know this, Jed, until last month, but LinkedIn crossed 100 million users. And I'm on the LinkedIn advisory board, and I got a note from the CEO saying I was member number 512. So who could have thunked it? Where was I in 2003 that I decided and agreed that I was going to go out and join LinkedIn? But today we reach across more than 200,000 people. Last month alone, Jed, we reached 3.3 million people between our LinkedIn discussions, newsletters, all the things that we've got going on. That's a whole lot of eyeballs in the world of marketing and branding and so forth. So we sort of drink our own Kool-Aid, but we provide expert sales training on LinkedIn. And if you don't know what you're doing in that space or want to accelerate what you're doing, it is simply extraordinary. So LinkedIn, be there, reach out, and we can certainly share more with you. The purpose of our call, though, today continues to be about thought leadership, about your leadership. And by definition that you're here, and you're here with Jed and myself, you are a leader. Your competitors are not here. So think about that as an asset. Also, take the next 50 minutes or so and invest in yourselves. Phones off, laptops down, doors that are closed. Really get focused here. Take the agenda that we send to you and prepare to write at least 2 pages of notes. It's not an accident. There's no reason why we want to put something on the screen and have you multitask. We want you good old-fashioned note-taking because you learn best. We learn best as adults. No different than we did in our school years. We want you actively engaged. If you have to make notes, it means that you're an active listener. We've done entire calls about fielding objections and negotiating techniques, and in order to listen, you have to write. So therefore, you can respond, okay? You'll even hear a little bit more about that today when we get to the third part of our program. So we encourage you to not multitask. On the flip side, though, if you have a specific question, just hit reply to the confirmation that got you here, or send an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and my team will be sorting and sifting questions. We have a lot of questions in advance, and we'll field any real-time ones. And then at the top of the hour, we'll look to informally open up the lines and chat for a couple of minutes. So Jed, let's dive in here. The first part we talked about in our prep, as we always do, you know, several weeks ago, we sort of mapped out. So why is it tougher? Point number one, why is it tougher to get an ad renewed than to generate the initial first sale? And with grace, why is it twice as important to get your renewals done before you focus on adding new advertisers and new sales? So, Jed, you know, we know big picture. I mean, why is it tougher to get an ad renewed than to generate that first sale? Just at 30,000 feet, what do we know about this piece?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, the when you put yourself in the advertiser's shoes, there's always the potential that something new is going to work really well, and in the absence of any proof that it has worked well, the easiest solution when someone's asking to spend money is always to say no.
Yep, absolutely. And the fact is, whenever we just big picture at the highest level, when we come in the first time, everything's new and everything's bright and shiny. When we come back, guess what? Did we fulfill our promise, right? Did we deliver on the things that they were expecting? And so that really takes us right into kind of the meat of our call. So remember that advertising and advertisers can measure results. Some will be better than they expect. Some will be less than they expect. And it's very important whenever you go in working with a new advertiser on the new side so that it sets the stage for the renewal that you go in and you really do confirm what their expectations are. So if they're selling, you know, trailer hitches, how many do they want to sell? They're selling motorboats, you know, or sailboats, how many do they want to sell? Or what are those specifics? If they're realtors, if they're car dealerships, whatever the genre might be, the sector, the industry, you get our drift, you have to know. Over time, this is a very important point. Not only do you want to ask and know about their ROI, but you should know better than them. Okay, a very important point about renewals, and when you're working in a sector, you should know better than them. Now, why is that? Well, if you kind of think about it, somebody might be in real estate. I'm just going to use that example for a second. And they might be in real estate for 10 years, and you might be, whoa, they're so seasoned. Well, yeah, but they probably only worked for their current company and three companies over the last 10 years. You will see more realtors in the next 24 hours and more offices and more business approaches in the next 24 or 48 hours than they're going to see in their entire 10 years. You're sort of like a little hummingbird going from flower to flower to flower, from realtor to realtor to realtor, from car dealer to car dealer to car dealer. Whatever the sector is that you focus in, never lose sight that you know more. And in those meetings, when you explore, well, I'm just curious, how many times do people come on this car dealership lot and buy on the spot? How many times is a realtor? You know, do you work with a prospect, and how long does it take before they actually buy a home? What are those stats? As you learn those stats, it feeds right into your renewals, okay? And it feeds right into knowing the ROI, the return on the investment, which ties into all the things that we'll be weaving in here today. So recognize that when you're working on renewals, how you did in terms of those results as compared to expectations very much tie in. Now, this is not... Jed, my favorite term, you know, but maybe there's a better one. Maybe you'll have one, or maybe those that are joining us here today will ping us a quick note and share a better one. But I hate the term buyers are liars, but I've probably heard it for 20 years, right? You know, you go in and a person says, your advertiser says, you come in to get that renewal, and the advertiser says, gosh, Ernest, or gosh, Jed, I'm really not happy with my results, right? I mean, how many times have you walked in for renewal and literally that advertiser said, you are so golden, double my fee, you've done such a great job, right, Jed? It just doesn't happen, does it?
Right, and there's no reason, you know, there's no reason why it really should, except that, you know, because when you take into account the way that most advertisers actually determine whether an ad is working or not,
mm-hmm.
Versus the way that their evidence tends to be pretty emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just at a meeting this morning of a relatively decent sized bank. You know,
mm-hmm.
that we are involved with the marketing for, and you know, the marketing person was thrilled about a particular ad that they had run because a couple of the tellers had gotten feedback. You know, a couple of people had actually mentioned the ad to the
yep.
couple of tellers.
Yep.
You know, it means nothing in the grand scheme of things. You
right,
know,
right.
It could easily go the other way where no one says anything to the tellers. But that doesn't mean the ad's not working. You need to have some definable data that you can point to.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So the term, you know, buyers or liars, again, it's really not our favorite, but the point is just philosophically, no one's going to say, thank goodness you're here, Ernest and Jed, because I'm going to double what I've been paying. You've done such a great job. We generally, typically do not get that. So we just have to just sort of recognize that piece, okay? So when we're thinking about renewals, okay, also recognize that the moment that you put that ad on your website or in your e-newsletter or in your print publication, and we'll always talk about all three, and positively, absolutely, you need all three working. If you don't, you can no longer compete in today's economic times. Now, that's a strong statement, but if you're on this call or if you're listening to this program afterward, hear the words, if you don't have print, e-newsletter, and website all working together, you cannot compete in this marketplace. You are missing tremendous revenue opportunities, but you have competitors that are going to eat your lunch, okay? So recognize that if you put an ad in the newsletter or print or your website and your competition has seen that new ad, the reason that it is tougher to go get that renewal is why? Because your competition has been calling on them, okay? No different than you would be calling on an advertiser when you've seen them in a competitive publication, e-newsletter, or their website, okay? Remember that one of the unique parts, the part that I love the most, Jed, about advertising sales is that it, for me, was like a report card. Every 30 days, every quarter, every time we put out our issue, you know, it was like this brand new, you know, the birth of a child. It was a birth of a wonderful, you know, publication. We were proud. We turned the pages. You've heard me talk about it. I've got publications from 1988 still sitting on my bookshelf, like the Encyclopedia Britannica, all lined up by month, nonetheless, not scrambled, you know. where were we in August, and where were we in October? You know, you get excited about that stuff. So recognize that a publication, especially obviously one that's in print, you can visually see it. It's like a report card, but so can your competitors and so can the marketplace. So when you continue to keep your renewals and you sit down with a prospective advertiser, they say, yeah, I've seen my competitor. You know, I'm in the real estate sector. I've been around for, you know, 20 years. Yep, I can see that Gold Realty is always on page two. Boy, they must really love you. Yep, they've been with us for 10 years. What's taking you so long? Okay, so your advertisers are paying attention, and so are your competitors, and that's, again, why renewals are so very important. Remember as well, and we'll talk more about this, that you've got to prove your value, your branding, your results, and we'll get more granular about that in this actual renewal process. Okay, here's a really important point about renewals, the reason why we positively, absolutely must and want to keep our renewals. And this we sort of skip over and forget about, but every single time we have an advertiser that's new, that we come back for a renewal, the focus of our call, and they don't renew, we realize that they have become what? A former client, a former advertiser. Now, if you've ever worked a territory where you could go into a fresh marketplace and everybody's new, that's the cat's meow. That's golden by any standard. That means that we can just go in and everything is fresh and every opportunity is absolutely there for us. Okay? But if you've ever worked in publications of any kind and you've worked through a prospect list and you find that three-quarters are former advertisers, Jed, I don't think that's like the most fun in the world of advertising sales, is it?
Right, and it's the whole reason why you know, new salespeople, when a publication hires a new salesperson, they end up producing ads that the old salesperson, however more experienced the old salesperson was, may have been, is the new person always comes up with new ads, right? Because the old person just, you know, was just kept hearing no from the same people.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And so the point is that no matter who you are, where you are today, no matter what your genre of publication is, to follow behind what Jed just shared, there's a finite number or some measurable number of A-level prospects for your publication, your e-newsletter, or your website, okay? if we're talking about RVs, if we're talking about boats, real estate, car dealers, doesn't matter what the sector is, you know, you have to recognize that there's a finite number. By the way, if you can't count that finite number, then your database or your CRM is not good enough. That's a challenge all by itself. You should be able to tell me or Jed or your sales manager, or if you're the owner of your company, you should be able to know exactly in Territory A that there are 564.7 A-level prospects, however you measure those. In Territory B, there's 426. Whatever that is, we have to definitively know, because if you don't know how many prospects, then how do you know who you're fishing for? A little off to the side there, okay? So just recognize it is not fun to run a publication of any kind and have lots or many or most of your prospects be past advertisers. Also recognize that the new renewal process, we think about this as just really big event, but remember, you're constantly renewing. Constantly renewing. Every time you reach out to one of your advertisers, hey, how's biz going? Hey, how are things going? Hey, any update on the advertising? Hey, I just heard from your front desk we had two phone calls. Jed, to your quick example, okay, with the bank, the tellers. Oh, yeah, the tellers, you know, just told me last week, you know, how well. Always be renewing. Always be asking those questions over the life of that agreement, whether that agreement is 4 months or 8 months or 12 months, whatever it is, you are constantly renewing. And as we know from our prior calls, you're constantly renewing and you're learning and you're recording, meaning you're making record. Do not trust your memory. That's not good enough. If you've got 40 advertisers or 400, depending on who you are and what kind of account load you're carrying, do not trust your memory on that. Record it. Frankly, you might have a renewal that's, you know, the ad started in January, may not renew till next December. There is no way on God's green earth in April something that was said to you from the teller at the bank that you're going to remember in December. Okay? And sales managers, even if that salesperson remembers it, if they don't record it and they leave in June, the rep who comes back for the renewal in December will not have access to that. Okay? So a lot during this call will kind of dance back and forth between sales leaders and sales professionals, okay? So every touch is part of the renewal process. Another very key piece, and I'll share with you a quick story. You need to work on your renewals early, okay? And I learned this very, very painfully, so I'll share with you my own story in my corporate days. We might have anywhere between 50 to 100 renewals up on the sales board. Now, when we talk about boards, we've done this in prior calls over the years. Today is our 50th call. But over the years, we've talked about sales boards. And I'm talking about boards that are literally the entire length of a wall, 30, 40, 50 feet long, and that are literally 10 feet tall. Imagine that visual, okay? If you don't have those kinds of tools in your office, then you don't have the kinds of tools that visually help your office sell and compete. It's a very, very important principle, okay? So recognize that on these boards, try to imagine the visual. If you walked into one of my conference rooms in my corporate days and looked up, you'd literally walk in and wall to wall to wall, every single wall was filled with boards from renewals, top tens, sales being driven, those who needed, you know, new copy, spec ads, whatever it was. It was filled. You could walk in and it told the story as you worked your way around the room. And imagine we had 50 or 100 or more renewals, all color-coded. Every single rep in my corporate days had a cup of color. So Jed, you might be, you know, you might be green, and I might be red, and Andrew might be blue. You could literally see who had the most renewals up. And what I learned about advertising sales professionals over the last couple of decades is that, myself included, we all tended to procrastinate until it got closer and closer and closer, figuring that we could kind of squeeze it in. Well, a couple things happened. Number one, it didn't work real well. Number two, our advertisers didn't appreciate the pressure. Number three, if there was any, this is the key point about renewals with grace, if there was any opportunity to fix something, change something, it was too late. It was way too late. I mean, it was 2 weeks before the deadline, and I'm just learning now they never liked their photo, or the offer wasn't as good, or they liked the competitor's ad better. It's too late. By the time you get down to the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and in some cases a month, depending on what your cycle is, okay? So what we learned, and my recommendation with all of my publication clients, is I want you to go back at least 45 days or even 60 days. So we're talking end of December renewal. That means that you would be engaged around the December 1st or even the middle of November or even the beginning of November, ideally. Imagine what it would feel like to go into December that all 100 renewals were done and all you had to do was sell. Okay? I say those words because I want all of you to think about what that would feel like. Think about how the weight sits on you when you've got your top five clients all up for renewal this month. Think about the pressure you're feeling when you've got multi-pages, premium pages, packages that are tying together web, e-newsletter, and print, and you know that they've been chatting with your competitors in the last 30 days. Trust me, that's never fun or comfortable. But we need a proactive game plan, and trying to wait till the end will never cut it, and the pressure will just build and build and build for you. Okay? And what we're suggesting here today is, with grace, the subject of our call, with grace you have to handle renewals earlier. And then there are things that you can do, which we'll talk a little bit about in just a little bit, about related to that. Okay? So, in summary, related to point number one, okay, we have to maintain our ads. There's nothing worse than having 10 renewals, losing 10 renewals, and having to go sell 10 more new just to get back where we were. It is far easier to keep 10, renew 10, and sell 10, or even sell 2 and end up with a net gain. You see, in the end, publications are all about net gain. The net growth in revenue and the net growth in pages is how we grow a publication. I hate the model of losing 10 to sell 10 just to get even and now need 10 more to grow. That's 20 new pages of sales to grow 10. Far better to renew all 10 and then grow 10, and that's how you really gain the momentum, and that's how you really make strides in your advertising sales success, okay? Jed, comments or observations related to this point one about sort of setting the stage and the importance of renewals?
No, I mean, I think you hit the main topics. I mean, I think it's, you know, as we've talked about in other calls, you know, a lot of it ends up coming down to, you know, being more involved with your customer than just someone who's selling them advertising space. It comes down to understanding their business, taking a little bit of time, finding out what it is that they're trying to achieve with their advertising, a little, you know, how their industry is doing, and then just applying that information to the advertising that they're doing with you. And you know, you'd be amazed, or maybe not, if you're already doing it, but you know, I've always found that when you take the time and effort to talk to an advertiser about their business, you know, there are solutions that you can find. You know, it's not a one-way street where you're saying, you know, I think we need to make a change in how you're doing your advertising, and the person at the other end of the table says no. You know, it's usually there's give and take, and they appreciate the input.
Yep.
So anyway, I didn't mean to go off the subject.
No. you're absolutely correct, and they do appreciate that input. And let's weave in a few questions here, if we could. Thank you to those of you that sent questions prior to our call, and also that are coming in live. We're going to weave those in right here before we get to point number two. And again, for those of you that have a question, just hit reply to the confirmation or send an email to ernest@powerhour.com, and we'll weave those in. We have a question from Brenda, who says, how many ads should run before you can tell that is successful or not? It is definitely not one. Brenda, we've had conversations about why there's absolutely no reason to run ever one-time ads, and we did an entire call about the merchandising of rate cards, and it includes absolutely categorically never including a one-time option, period. Okay, we want 3, 6, 12, 4, 8, 12. We want things that make sense. Jed, you, though, last year had some riveting stats about what happens with an ad and ad results after it runs the first and the second, the third time. Do you recall that? I know those were just,
yeah,
I was
sure.
Falling out of my chair when you rolled through those.
Yeah, I mean, what we track thousands of ads, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, what we find, I know this is a little bit counterintuitive to what oftentimes publications believe, but what we find is that that for the most part, response doesn't change on an ad more than 10% up or down after the first run. So let's say, for example, you have a unique phone number in your customer's ad, and you're able to see how many phone calls that they're generating. if that first ad generates two phone calls, you're never going to get to a point where, you know, and if the goal is 50 phone calls, you're never going to get there. You know, you need to make changes quickly because what will happen is those two calls may become four, they may become five if you're lucky, but they're not ever going to rise to that level. That's been what we've seen anyway. By the same token, it almost never goes down that much, which is to me really surprising, because even in relatively small circulation publications, what will happen is an ad that generates 50 phone calls almost never will dip below, you know, 45 or so. For extended periods of time, we're talking, you know, months and months, even years. And so, you know, that's always sort of surprising because you'd assume that in a small circulation area, the pool of potential customers would be low enough that that it would sort of tail off more dramatically than it does. So yep. the point really is though about the 10%, and you know, you can argue with that. Maybe for certain types of advertisers, maybe it rises more dramatically. But I think that it's fair to assume that you don't really need to wait 3 months, let's say, through the course of a contract to determine whether an ad is working. Right? You can really make that kind of determination much, much sooner, which is good news, right? Because then you can take steps to change it and take steps to fix it if it needs fixing.
Absolutely. So the point here, and Brenda, we're hoping this is helpful for you, but the bottom line is that the ad results have a pattern, have a flow. There's lots of research behind the scenes. You're hearing Jed talk about the incredible, insightful ways that they're able to measure and track results, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And the work that Jed and MediaBids does with their clients and publications is simply extraordinary. It really is an art and a science. One more quick question from Ralph. You say it takes time to generate fresh ads. Why concentrate on renewals first? And we're hoping we answer that, because if you end up with a prospect list filled with past advertisers, that will not be fun. Don't misunderstand. We just want to renew what we've got. We want to maintain, and we want to turn around the other side and obtain. So it all kind of grooves together. Let's weave into the second part of our call. We can see additional questions are coming in, and we'll just keep working those in as we roll here. Number two, what are the steps for completing a renewal with grace and ease? What kind of renewal prep is required for 100% success when asking a current advertiser for the renewal of their existing advertising campaign? So there's two secrets in those sentences, okay? Number one, renewal prep. True renewal prep, okay? And we want all of you to make a note that renewal prep might be 1 or 2 or 3 hours or more, depending on how much you're playing for. Remember, when you're making that kind of investment, okay, think about the lifetime value. If this advertiser continues this ad for the next 5 years, what is the lifetime value of that opportunity? Okay, very important principle. And the other part to this, okay, is 100% success. Sales managers and owners on this call, we have lots of you, presidents and owners and CEOs. For those of you from a leadership capacity, every single cycle, you should know what the renewal percentages is by contract. For example, we had 10 renewals. We renewed 5, so 50% renewal ratio. Okay, and then by dollars, same example. We had 10,000 up for renewal. We renewed 5,000, hence 50%. By number of pages and by dollars, you absolutely categorically need that for every close of every single cycle. Now, you do the same, whether it's print, e-newsletter, or web sales. The same thing applies. It's just we just have three to measure rather than one, okay? And then you need to know by the rep, by the salesperson. Mary's success ratio is 85%. Tina's is 42%. What gives? Same publication. That will tell you where some of your sales work has to be done, okay? And you want those kinds of stats for the month, for the rolling 90 days, for the year to date, January to current, and the rolling 12 months. Okay? You cannot guide, coach, or lead a sales team without having that kind of data related to renewals. And you will absolutely find that under the same roof or under the same umbrella of your structure, of your publication, you will have everyone renewing from 20% to 90%, and there will be no rhyme to the reason until you peel it back and say, what is Johnny doing that Bill's not doing? Okay, so it's a very important point about this reporting. So time and research is key. Give it the respect. Truly give it the respect. If you're really going to renew with grace, then you get there by grace and ease because of your renewal prep that you do. Next point, okay? In this renewal prep, you have to really think about what you bring to the party and what you measure and what you know, okay? So, for example, what do you know about their ad results? What do you know about their phone results? You heard Jed talking about unique tracking numbers, okay? If you look at any publication that has automotive advertising, real estate advertising, apartment advertising, you can go right down the list. Many, many categories, there are 100% tracking numbers. 100%. You will not find a single realtor ad today that is not tracked. In fact, if that realtor has 4 print publications, they're in 6 e-newsletters, and there are 12 websites, they will have a unique tracking number for all 20 of those mediums. And they will get a report at the end of every month that will track the activity. In turn, if you're a publication and you don't have that in place and you're not offering that, you are about 5 to 7 years behind the curve. And we're not kidding. Jed, I say that rather generously because phone tracking has been around for a long time, yes?
Right, absolutely. And it's never too late to start. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess at some point it's too late to start, but it's not too late to start. I mean, the reason why this is so important is that, you know, you want to be able to approach an advertiser with data that you've generated, that you can count on. Because as we mentioned earlier in the call, you know, we're going on the premise, which I think is accurate, that advertisers cannot or do not do a very good job creating and producing this data on their own. They're not effective at tracking. And frankly, you know, it's really become the job of the medium in many respects to do that tracking for the advertiser. You know, I mean, people like Google and Yahoo that more and more advertisers are familiar with and using to some on some level, you know, provide that kind of data for them all the time in real time. And so the idea that print requires advertisers to do it on their own is something that, you know, is really, you know, I believe, I think Ernest does too, really hurting print. Because if print was able to, you know, if you are able to produce for your advertiser, look, this is what happened with your ad this week, you're sort of putting yourself on the same playing field that a lot of the mediums that you're competing with.
Very, very well said. If all of you wonder why Google is so specifically so specific to advertising and why they're doing so well, it's exactly what Jed says. They measure everything. You go in and you buy a paid or sponsored ad or a paid link, guess what you get? You get exactly how many clicks and you get charged. And then when the person actually reaches out by phone, there's a unique tracking number and off they go. Look how graceful and with ease the way they're handling their renewals. Let's see. Mary Jones, the plumbing company in Toledo, you had 571 clicks. You had 496 inbound calls. Based on what you told us up front, the average plumbing call is $117. Therefore, we brought in $42,926 in top-line revenue. Capiche? Do we get the renewal? Press hard, 3 copies? Done.
Right. And if you think about, you know, if you think about how Google, if Google tried to do it the way that newspapers and magazines do, right, they would have just as hard a time as newspapers and magazines have with it, right? If Google had a system where, you know, where they said, you know, pay us X for this space, and then at the end of the month they said to the advertisers, you know, how did it work for you, right? They would have exactly the same problem, right? Because advertisers wouldn't know, and they would assume that it wasn't working. You know, the difference is that they can show them, and advertisers can see it for themselves.
Absolutely. So a very important piece. And let me just weave in a quick question here. We've got one that just came in. Just came in from Kathy, who says, when we are doing our renewal prep, can we offer a special as an option to come back, i.e. 20% off your current rate for a four time? Kathy, I'm not a big fan about, and we've done entire calls just about, there are 21 negotiating skills. We run coaching and training programs. It's a three-hour program that we take our publications through. The moment you step in and you offer anything, then you've opened up Pandora's box for anything. So if you offer anything, then everything becomes on the table negotiable. I would positively, absolutely not encourage you to do that. Okay, you're going in to ask for the renewal. You're going in because you've earned the right to ask for their business. You're going in because you've done the research that you can measure and qualify and quantify the results of what you brought to come in and offer any kind of discount. Now, if your question was the reverse, to bring back for advertisers, you bump into the same thing. Selling with a discount, selling for off the rate card is a wildly dangerous strategy. Myself and Jed, we've done multiple calls related to that over the years, and that is not a good strategy for all kinds of reasons. Not only will you get your nose in the noose, but so will your competitors. In fact, if I'm selling against you and I know you're selling $1 off that rate card, I'm going to have a log in every meeting I go, and every time I learn, I'm going to keep track of that, and I'm going to show your advertisers that a full page on your rate card that is $800, that there's four other advertisers that are paying $600, and I know of two others that are paying $400, and they should call you up and offer $300. And then they're going to take the $500 instead of paying $800, and they're going to run advertising with me. For all of you on this call, discounting and coming off a rate card is a very, very dangerous strategy.
Let me just add something to that. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with what Ernest is saying from the publication perspective, but as someone who deals with a lot of advertisers, I know that there's sort of constant price pressure. What I would answer the question maybe slightly different than Ernest would be if someone's looking for a discount, then there should be a reason why, right? There should be you should be able to produce the data. You know, let's say for example, you know, someone is selling an item that sells for, you know, for $10, and you break out sort of how many they need to sell and what their ROI needs to be, and you make changes to the ad, and you do whatever needs to be done to make the ad more effective, and you just can't get to that ROI. I mean, to me, that's a more sort of logical way of kind of applying discounts and a more logical way of trying to solve the problem, because it's for a specific reason and it's finite. I agree with Ernest where it's dangerous is if someone just says, you know, I just want a discount just because I'm going to advertise with you again.
Yep.
I think it should be for something specific.
Yep. And to Jed's point, Jed, we're really in agreement, because what I'm saying is look at the rate card. You already have discounts built in. You want a discount? Buy a bigger ad, and it's less per square inch. You want a discount? Go 8 times or 12 times. And let me walk you through where the discounts are. The spread between our 4 and 8 is a 17% discount. Go longer. The spread between our 8 and 12-time run is 21%. It's right there. Oh, no, I just want the one-time run, and I want your best rate. Now that means what? We have to come right back to the value of selling. And, Jed, you know we did an entire call just on the merchandising of rate cards, how you price going up and down the page sizes and how you go out and across with frequency. It's all there, okay? So, Kathy, I'm hoping that that's helpful for you. Let's roll back to point number two. There's a couple additional points here. So recognize that ad results, phone results, newsletter stats and the clicks that come with that. We see there's some questions on that. We can talk about that a little later in the call. Website stats, testimonials, okay? Remember, too, that the whole packaging of print, website, advertising, and e-newsletter all tie in as well as part of your renewal prep. Also recognize that you want to be prepared for competitive questions that may come up, and we'll touch on this in a couple of minutes a little deeper, but just generally in the renewal process, what is going on with your competitors? You know, what are they saying about you in the marketplace? What have you learned about them? Maybe they've shut one of their editions. Maybe they're no longer mailing to a zone. Maybe they're no longer placing their distribution racks where they used to, or not as many, or not servicing them as frequently. What do you know about their team? You know, their transition. What do you know about the quality of the product? What do you know about the product size? What do you know about their website? All of these things behind the scenes, stay current and use as needed. Again, make certain that in the renewal process, you want to clarify again their goals and expectations that you learned when you first sold them, okay? And you want to tie all of this back to return on investment, just like the plumber example. How many phone calls? How many clicks? How many leads came from the website? How many clicks from the e-newsletter? You can tie all that together, and you know the average price of what they're selling, and you know the average buying cycle, you should be able to walk into a meeting and say, gee, isn't it wonderful? We brought you $427,919 in revenue. I want your renewal. If you can't do that, then you're selling advertising respectfully the way that it was done a decade and 2 and 3 and 4 years ago. You're doing it based on your rapport and your relationship, and that's not enough today when you've got the Googles of the world measuring every single blink.
Ernest, maybe it would be helpful Please. If we just talk for just really quickly about a couple of the questions that you need to ask when someone initially starts advertising to be able to sort of have that information when you go back to the when you go back for a renewal. So, for example, you know, you mentioned, you know, being able to have a hard and fast number. You know, one of the things that one of the questions which is really helpful to ask is what the average close rate or you know how effective they are at converting people who call, and this is something that varies widely by type of industry. So for example, if you're a real estate agent, you know the close rate, the amount of calls that turn into actual revenue for you is going to be relatively small. But if you're a a flower shop, right, then it's going to be significantly higher.
Yep.
So it's that kind of information sort of helps educate you and sort of gives you the data. It's not as hard as it may seem. You know, you don't have to pour through, you know, industry newsletters to figure these numbers out. You know, they should be sort of self-explanatory based on what your advertiser is telling you. You know, average
yep.
cost of sale, average close rate, it's all pretty much right there.
Absolutely. And what you've just heard from Jed is word for word what you need to have up front so you know their expectations, so you can manage those expectations, so you can clarify the expectations, okay? Jed, that was perfect. Word for word what they need to know in terms of the pre-expectations, okay? So just wrapping up the second point here, recognize that all of these things related to renewals, a checklist, a system, a template. We've been helping clients for 16 years build the kinds of renewal checklists. Every single one is different. We have probably developed more than 2,000 of these. Even though we've worked across 800 publications, we create different checklists and different templates for the renewal process for different genres or different publications under their umbrella. You use different steps and utilize different information. So very important to recognize that you get a consistency. So therefore, if someone's been on your team for 10 years or for 10 minutes, they're all going to pursue and go after the renewals the same way. And, Jed, on the sales side, they're also going to gather the information that will help with the return on investment when you come back around for the renewals. Also recognize when working on renewals that you always, always want to bring into this meeting. And by the way, all the information you're going to bring, you're going to bind and tab in a presentation. Bind and tab, okay? So it's impressive. Obviously, that means you're meeting face-to-face. Of course, if you're meeting long distance, it might be a PDF file that you've got nicely prepared and well-branded. But always bring new ideas. It might be spec ads. It might be new photos. It might be new layouts, new offers, new colors, new information about what their competitors are doing. New suggestions about placement in your publication or your e-newsletter, new upgrades related to your website and prime banner opportunities, all of those pieces are there for you, okay? Always bring fresh ideas. And I like to insert that, Jed, early in the meeting. People get kind of excited about that, and it creates kind of a nice little flow, and then we work back through the rest of the meeting, okay? All right. Let's talk about sales objections. Sales objections We have run entire calls, in some cases back-to-back calls over the years, just about sales objections. And we've done some, Jed, that one of our most popular was, you know, what are your top three most frequently asked sales objections? We had a massive turnout, if you remember. We had pages and pages, but you know, many of the same reoccurring themes. Recognize that when you're in the renewal process, there's a four-step process to fielding the most commonly asked objections. So it begins with L for listen, closely, active, okay? Number two, just like we're doing here today, W stands for write. So we're going to listen and write. Number three, we're going to clarify. C is for clarification, okay? And number four, we're going to address. So L, W, C, A, we're going to address one by one. So I'm going to listen closely to the objection about why they may not be renewing. I'm going to write that down. I'm going to clarify and repeat it back to them so I can identify exactly what they're asking me about, and then I'm going to address their objections. Well, we're really not going to stay with you because we don't think it's efficient, and then we've got this other opportunity to be on this e-newsletter, and then we're also thinking about doing a little upgrade on our website. Man, that is a compound objection, and you've got to pull every nugget out of there. And if you don't, like me and most salespeople, starting with me, if I didn't write that down, I would generally handle the last objection missing the first two. Okay? That's why it's so important that you write down the objections so that you can go one by one by one. Because if you only handle the last one, then that buyer or that renewal advertiser feels like you still didn't address the first two, and it's an objection that has not been addressed. And you might think because they don't bring it back up again, they'll forget, and they won't, and they don't. Okay, Jed, just as a quick example, I was working on a little insurance policy, and I was working through very complex for my team and my company, and we were rolling along, and I'd asked a question early on. Let me just be clear. Does the deductible cap at $10,000 or go beyond $10,000? I want to clarify. And is that per incident or per year? How does that work? It didn't get answered. We were 30 minutes into the meeting, and I had to circle all the way back to say, listen, you didn't address this piece about that deductible. Now, I did that because it was still gnawing on me. But a sharp salesperson would have written down every one of my objections and gone, Ernest, let me address one by one by one. And they would have taken that. And I would have applauded them, and I would have said, wow, you know what? I appreciate your professionalism. I really feel like you're serving me well here today. And I would have praised them. But most do not. If you want to be a sales pro, your pen is always in hand. Because we, who enjoy so much people, trust and believe that we'll remember everything and that we will be able to do it with our shoe leather and a smile and our people skills, and that just simply is not enough. And with the world of all the choices that advertisers have today, okay, in the early days, frankly, it was this. I'm going to be in the newspaper. That was your competitor. Right, Jed? That was it. Right. I'm going to be in the newspaper. I don't want to be in your publication. Or I'm going to be in another magazine, or I pulled some money from direct mail. You had basically a couple of choices. Some direct mail, maybe some TV, radio, depending on the genre of advertiser. But for the most part, you had a magazine. You might have had some free publications. You might have a newspaper. It was very simple. Today, there's hundreds and hundreds, an infinite number of competitors. You've got to be ready to address all of them. Okay? So very important. So listen, write, clarify, and address. Also recognize that when you're working on renewals and renewal objections, okay, you want to honor the principle of disruptive selling. Now, disruptive in a good way, you know that you have sunk in when you have said something in that renewal meeting that stops that renewal person in their tracks. For example, they say, look, I'm going to pull out from your publication, and I'm going to go with your competitor. And you say, hey, listen, I really appreciate that. I really like to address a little piece on that. I've got this media comparison I'd like to walk you through, but let me just clarify. Do you realize that we are the exclusive publications in the six biggest flower shows over the next 6 weeks, and you won't be there? And there's that long silence, and that renewal advertiser pauses and says, no, I did not. Tell me more. The moment you can disrupt their thinking and stop that, here's what I'm going to be doing, here's what I'm going to be doing, here's why I'm not going to be doing. The moment you can stop that running river and bring it to a halt, that's disruptive selling, and that is your goal. But you have got to be good. You have got to be good. You've got to know your stuff, and you've got to know your competition, And you've got to know what sets you apart, your USP, right? We've done this in prior calls, your unique selling proposal. We've talked about media comparisons, entire calls. We've actually done a couple over the last 50 about media comparisons. You have got to have it down cold, because if you can't say what I just said in that example, then that renewal is done. You're toast. You're fried. You're not going to get it.
And for those of you thinking to yourself, you know, how do I get the kind of meetings that Ernest is describing, where I get to sit across the table from someone who will actually talk to me about their renewal as opposed to just not calling me back, right? I mean, that's where a lot of the information that Ernest has mentioned really comes in handy, because when you can say to an advertiser, I want to talk about how you did, you know, I have the results of your advertising for the last month. It's a lot more compelling than saying, I want to come in and talk about your contract and, you know, and you spending more money with us.
Yep, absolutely. So in your preparation, and here's a really important tip. The better you prepare for a renewal, the less objections you're going to have. Okay? The better you prepare. Just like in that quick insurance example I gave you, when I rattled off my question about the deductible, Jed, had she at that moment said, hey, Ernest, let me write that down. Let me make a note of that. Let me make a note of that. We're going to address all of them. You're in good hands. I know exactly how to guide you through this. I'm going to field every one of your questions exactly in the order you gave them to me. Let me read them back to you. Are these the key things, the key questions on the table? One, two, three, four. I said, yeah, those are beautiful. In fact, I've got one more, five. Okay, Ernest, let's go down the path. You see, when you hear that, you just get that level of confidence, Jed, don't you?
Right.
Right? You get a level of confidence, and you're in good hands, and you're with a sales pro. Okay? But it's more often that someone says, hey, listen, thanks for sharing all of that. Here, let me address this point. Let me address the one. They're hoping the other four go away. They'll typically field the last objection, skip over the four, okay, and then wonder why they didn't get the sale or the renewal at the end of the cycle. So the better your prep and the better you know your competition, the better you're going to do with your renewals. Remember not to skip through this, because we've done hours on this, but you must have your media comparisons current and fluid. Remember, under the second point here today, we talked about knowing your competitors and their updates and their team and stay current. This is the more granular part. You must have a media comparison period for every single competitor. If you have three and you need two more, build them. If you have five and they need to be updated today, update them today. They're a journey and a constant they're a constant tool that's constantly being revised, okay? So in order to be thoroughly prepared going into any meeting, you have to be thoroughly prepared on your competitors, right down to what is their cost per thousand, where is their circulation, what do we know about their team, what do we know about industry events and shows, what do we know about their editorial. I mean, there can be as many as 20 or 25 different areas that you need to know about every one of those competitors, and media comparisons are the perfect cheat sheet to get there. I have never found in my 25 years in publications and advertising sales a more significant tool. I will take that tool over a publication in my hand. I will take that tool over a media kit in my hand. I will take that tool over anything. If I only had one thing to walk into every and any sales meeting, it would be my media comparisons that I'm set and ready to talk about what I do really well and what my competitors do well, always praising, but what else we might do beyond that. Jed, we have about 4 or 5 minutes before the top of the hour in the formal portion of our program. Then we'll pause and talk about how to open it up informally. But I would like to address a couple of questions, if I could, just before we wrap up the formal portion. We have a question that came in from Bob asking, what is the best way to ask for rate increases? Okay. A couple of things on this, Bob. Number one, we need to do it every single year. I don't care if it's 0.5%. Okay, typical increases have historically been in the range of 2 to 5% is on the smaller side, especially in these economic times. Please, publications in general, do not fall into the trap that because I don't increase my rates, you know, people will stay with me. It's just simply not true. What it means is if you don't feel like you can get 2% more, I mean, my God, on a $1,000 ad, it's $20 more. If you don't feel like you can get that, then you've got advertisers that don't perceive and know the value of your publication or of your advertising mediums, whatever that is. Okay. Also recognize on the day, for those of you that are presidents, CEOs, owners, on the day you go to sell your publications and your entire media properties, if you do not actively increase your rates, you're not going to get a premium. okay? One of the recommendations is to build a rate increase letter that details. And this would have gone out in the fourth quarter during budget season of last year, setting the stage for this year. That would have been an entire page of all the things that you did. This is WIFM, what's in it for me. This is a full page of everything you've done in 2010 that justified the reason why the increases are going to happen going into the next year. So therefore, you don't have to ask for increases. You already let your advertisers know in the fourth quarter in the budget season, so that 2011 you've already set the stage for the increases that are coming. So, Bob, hoping that is helpful from that point of view. Let's see. And I know there's more questions that have come in, but I wanted to just see. We have a question that came in from Mark asking about how to handle price negotiations. Mark, that's a really full topic. We've done entire calls on that, okay? But my clue for that is price negotiations. I'd be on the other side, how to sell the value of my publication rather than price negotiations. If we're asking about negotiations, we might probably be discounting more than we ever want to. I'm a major believer. Here's my rate card. Here's the value that we bring, and here's how we roll, for all kinds of reasons, especially that you don't want competitors knowing that you've got 10 advertisers all at different rates. Okay? If you want to chat about that a little more, you can maybe follow up at the top of the hour when we wrap up the formal portion. I can go a little deeper on that one. I think, Jed, at this moment we'll pause because there's some live questions we can field as well that have come in the last couple of minutes. So let's do this. We've covered a lot of ground. We appreciate all of you being here. This is, again, the Media Bids Power Hour. This is our 50th call. We're so delighted that you invested your time with us. We've had a very, very full 60 minutes here together. We spent a lot of time behind the scenes preparing these, mapping these out, obviously inviting you, confirming, reminding you, and so forth. We hope that you have found this to be very valuable. We intend it to be. We hope that the strategies that you're hearing today are strategies and tools and resources you can deploy immediately. This is not the kind of stuff you read in a classroom environment where where you might think philosophically about what's going on. These are exactly the tools and the steps. And that's how Jed and myself craft these for you. So we, again, hope that it's been very informative for you. And in a couple of minutes, we'll wrap this up, and then we'll tell you how to engage with us informally at the top of the hour for maybe 5 or 10 minutes once we wind this up. So, Jed, those are my closing words. How about some closing words about you and Media Bids and the wonderful work that you're doing for our clients and across the sector, and a thank you to the group, and then we'll formally wrap this up.
I want to, obviously thank everyone for joining us. It's always a thrill for us to see how many people attend these. Again, thanks to Ernest. He knows an enormous amount about all of these topics, and he's really the one who makes these teleseminars worth listening to. So, again, thanks to everybody, and if you want to learn more about Media Bids or talk about any of the topics that we spoke about today, I'm always available. So you'll get an email from us, our contact information will be on there.
Absolutely. So to all of you, thank you again. We hope that you'll continue to join us for our Media Bids Power Hours as the months and years go by. We know many of you have been on every one of our calls. Some, for example, this might be your first time, but we host these every single month, excluding in the summer months, Jed, depending on when you're traveling and I'm traveling, and then generally December we do not. So it's always a pleasure. So let me just pause the formal portion of our program, then we'll come back and talk about how to informally connect, and we'll field some questions here for another 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. So, Jed, give me just a second.